Paris, July 19th, 1789. From Thomas Jefferson to John Jay. Dear Sir, on July 14th, afternoon, Monsieur de Corny, a member of the States General, and five others were sent to ask arms of Monsieur de Launay, governor of the Bastille. They found a great collection of people already before the place, and they immediately planted a flag of truce, which was answered by a like flag hoisted on the parapet. The deputation prevailed on the people to fall back a little, advance themselves to make the demand of the governor, and in that instant, a discharge from the Bastille killed four people of those nearest to the deputies. The deputies retired, the people rushed against the place, and almost in an instant were in possession of a fortification defended by 100 men of infinite strength, which in other times had stood several regular sieges and had never been taken. How they got in has as yet been impossible to discover. Those who pretend to have been of the party tell so many different stories as to destroy the credit of them all. They took all the arms, discharged the prisoners and such of the garrison as were not killed in the first moment of fury, carried the governor and lieutenant governor to the Greve, the place of public execution, cut off their heads, and set them through the city in triumph to the Palais Royal. But at night, the Duc de Liancourt forced his way into the king's bedchamber and obliged him to hear a full and animated detail of the disasters of the day in Paris. The king went to bed deeply impressed. The king went about 11 o'clock, accompanied only by his brothers, to the States General, and there read to them a speech in which he asked their interposition to reestablish order. Though this be couched in terms of some caution, yet the manner in which it was delivered made it evident that it was meant as a surrender at discretion. He returned to the chateau afoot, accompanied by the States. They sent off a deputation, the Marquis de Lafayette at their head, to quiet Paris. He had, the same morning, been named Commandant-in-Chief of the Milice Bourgeois, the King's Militia, a body of the Swiss Guards of the Regiment of Ventimille, Italy, and the City Horse Guards joined the people. The alarm at Versailles increases instead of abating. They believed that the aristocrats of Paris were under pillage and carnage, that 150,000 men were in arms coming to Versailles to massacre the royal family, the court, the ministers, and all connected with them, their practices and principles. The aristocrats of the nobles and clergy in the States General vied with each other in declaring how sincerely they were converted to the justice of voting by persons, and how determined to go with the nation. The king came to Paris, leaving the queen in consternation for his return. Omitting the less important figures of the procession, I will only observe that the king's carriage was in the center. On each side of it, the States General, in two ranks a foot, at their head, the Marquis de Lafayette as commander-in-chief on horseback, and bourgeois guards before and behind. About 60,000 citizens of all forms and colors, armed with the muskets of the Bastille and invalids as far as they would go, the rest with pistols, swords, pikes, pruning hooks, scythes, etc., lined all the streets through which the procession passed, and with the crowds of people in the streets, doors, and windows, saluted them everywhere with cries of Vive la Nation, but not a single Vive le Roi was heard. The king landed at the Hotel de Ville, City of Hall in Paris. There, Monsieur Bailly, mayor of Paris, presented and put into his hat the popular cockade and addressed him. The king, being unprepared and unable to answer, Bailly went to him, gathered from him some scraps of sentences, and made out an answer which he delivered to the audience as from the king. On their return, the popular cries were, Vive le Roi et la Nation! He was conducted by a garde bourgeois militia to his palace at Versailles, and thus concluded such an amende honorable as no sovereign ever made and no people ever received. I say, the earth belongs to each of these generations during its course. fully and in its own right. Your humble and obedient servant, Thomas Jefferson. Read by Marcus Ellsworth, with sound and production by Kevin Seaman for Auto Studios.